Auburn keeps adding to what is becoming one of the deepest offensive line classes in a decade.
In a world full of podcasts, he's the undisputed heavyweight champion of hot takes, an Auburn sports homer, master of the book, and message board legend. Get your buttons buttoned and your hats flattened, because the Top Button Podcast is about to kick off. And you don't want to miss your courtside seat. Now, here's your host, Charlie Fine.
Yes, sir, we're back. It's another episode of the Top Button Podcast. I'm your host, Charlie Fine, and we're ready to get after it. Happy Monday, and we get to start off Monday talking about another big commitment, your second commitment second commitment in 3 days. As Auburn adds Jacoby Ward to this already incredibly deep offensive line class. And you know we're going to get into that. But before we do, we got to give a shout-out to Ford Stokes with retirement results presented by Active Wealth. You want to talk about having deep pockets? You want to have deep pockets? Ford can help you get there. Check him out. Go to retirementresults.com/plan, and he can give you that customized plan to help you get those deep pockets, to help you take the wealth you've already built, earned, and you want to protect it and grow it. Ford's the guy to help you with that. Hope you enjoyed the bonus pod. He went in depth with a lot of the questions that I've been talking about on here, a whole pod dedicated to that. So check that out on the YouTube channel. If you missed it, Ford Stokes, retirement results presented by Active Wealth. Auburn lands probably one of the higher rated guys on their board, Jacoby Ward from St. Benedictine High School in Savannah, Georgia, over the weekend. It's one that Auburn felt really good about for a very long time, up until maybe the last, I don't know, two, three weeks or so. And you know, you had to make sure it's one that you couldn't take for granted, but one that you had to make sure that you went ahead and locked down. And Auburn does that. This kid has offers from everybody in the country. I don't care about the ranking. I know some people are going to scoff at a 3-star. I'm not saying he's necessarily in line for a big ratings bump. I don't know that that's the case. He could, but when you look at the schools in his finale, his final schools, you had LSU, who is recruiting at the highest level they're recruiting at old LSU level right now. And they wanted him bad. They wanted him bad. They tried to, you know, go ahead and get him in the boat. And he wanted to still take some visits, and, you know, moved on from him. Then you have Tennessee, who was in his final, another school that's recruiting at a pretty high level right now. And then Miami, who kind of came on late. Miami was really trying to pull off something sneaky with Jacoby. And, Auburn kind of caught wind of it and snuffed it out. And I think that you take down – if you win battles against those three guys, those three teams that are recruiting at a very high level, and then, you know, Georgia had their eye on him as well, if their board didn't work out the way they wanted it to work out. Just a kid that's got size that you can't teach, a frame that you cannot teach, and aggressiveness that's a lot of times you don't see in an offensive lineman, or it's something that's either there or it's not. And it's a guy that you want on the inside. You want a guy that can be aggressive and be ready to just blow folks off the ball. 6'3", 330 already. 6'3", 6'4", 330 already. Probably want to get in a little bit. He'll have to come in and get in a little bit better shape, but overall, you're talking about a very, very powerful, powerful interior offensive lineman that really sort of, you know, completes your class. It really does. And don't get me wrong here. We talk about 3-star. We talk about the guys that offer him, the schools that have offered him. Auburn had him maybe number two on their board as far as their commits go. I think you had I think he's right there ahead, probably ahead of even Broderick Scholl, number two on your board. That's how much emphasis they put on this guy to bring him in and get him committed. And I think he really changes things, makes this a really, really deep and versatile class. It already was deep, but now you add five. And sort of that gets you into a comfort level where you don't have to reach on anybody else. If you were to go into the offseason and this is your class you sign, I think you're happy with it. You got Travaris Dice, your number one guy that you had on your whole board. Travaris Dice, you get him, offensive tackle. Broderick Schull, very highly rated offensive tackle. You get him. You get Jacoby Ward, which I think overall was the number two, probably the number two offensive lineman in this whole board, but definitely the number one interior lineman. You get Ty Buster, your number one center prospect that you had on the board. And then you still got Spencer Dallin, who's got great attributes, got a great frame that could possibly grow into a, possibly grow into a starting position three years down the road, two and a half, three years down the road. He could, maybe see some spot time early. If he gets in and gets after it, there could be a pathway to him playing, but just, it'll just be a while, be a couple of years. So what do you do? What do you do now with this class? I think Auburn goes big game hunting. I think you go big game hunting, and if you don't get them, you just don't get them. So who is that? I think you still got Andrew Babalola. That you love, Auburn's always the constant when you're talking about Andrew Babalola. Excuse me. Got a big five-star offensive tackle, I believe, out of Kansas. I think it's down to basically Stanford, Michigan, and Auburn. Depending on who you talk to, it's Stanford and Auburn or Michigan and Auburn. But Auburn always seems to be the constant. So you might go big game hunt there, try to land Andrew Babalola. If you do, I think you're done. Or you still got Malachi Goodman out there, from the kid from New Jersey, who I think Auburn's been battling. He can go pretty much wherever he wants to, but I think he's been battling. Auburn's been battling Penn State and some other schools up there for his services. And if you get him, that's another one. That's a big game hunter. That's a big game hunter ad that you could pop. If you miss out on Babalola, maybe you go try to get one or two of these guys. But that would be another. Guy at the top that you could take a shot at. And now when you have these dudes locked in, it gives you that freedom. It gives you that freedom to be able to, hey, if we want to take a shot at somebody, we can. If not, no big deal. No big deal. We don't have to press. We don't have to press on anybody. We can focus on the guys we have committed and maintain them and keep them locked in because it doesn't take hardly anything now. If the right NIL offer, the right phone call comes, it's just loyalty sort of at a premium right now because it's pretty rare. But I think having five guys in the boat early really lets you take a deep breath. And I just love what Jake Thornton's done since he's been here. I love the additions last year and in the full class, the 2024 class. I love your full additions. It wasn't a big class, but I think it filled the right needs. You got a future, possibly all SEC guard. You got a JUCO offensive tackle that can play. And then even in your half class, even in your little piecemeal class, you still landed a four-star tackle that you flipped from Texas Tech, who is getting tons and tons of praise, is possibly moving into being, a 1A or 1B backup. Kind of pick it out. What does he want to be, a backup for the left tackle, or is he backup for the right tackle, Tyler Johnston? They're not missing on a lot. It doesn't seem like they're missing on a lot on their offensive line. They're picking them out, and they seem like they're getting the ones they want, and those dudes are panning out. Xavier Miller's a great example, a JUCO guy that I don't even think they were expecting to play until this year. And he started last year and developed and got better as the year went on, and I think he's primed to have a big year. So if you bring in five guys that you feel like you've evaluated really, really hard and that you nail, man, five or six guys, depending on if you hit one of these big guys too, the trenches just continue to build. The offensive line continues to get stronger, and it's just so refreshing to see. It's so refreshing to see, and I'm going to tell you why. And you're going to be blown away by this, but It's been 10 years, or it's been over 10 years, 2012, okay? 2012, so that's well over a decade. I said in a decade, but it's over a decade of being of a truly a deep offensive line class. In that 2012 class, Auburn signed 12, they signed seven offensive linemen, and I think five of them were four-star guys. So that was a very, very deep class. And then it's just been a bunch of misery, a bunch of misery. You've had some success stories. You've had a Braden Smith in there. You've had some decent guys, but as far as putting together a class, from top to bottom, this is the most complete one in quite a while. Last year's was not bad. You had a tackle prospect in there. And you got Edwin Favor, who I think has turned a lot of heads late. Again, Seth Wilfred, and then you got your interior guys. But as far as just having a true five deep and sitting really, really good of adding a sixth, it's been at least 12 years since Auburn's had a class of this nature. And it's, you know, a lot of other schools probably look at this and they kind of laugh, like, what's the big deal? Well, the big deal is, you know, in that time span, Auburn's won some pretty big football games, played for an SEC championship when not really doing the correct things as far as building the lines. So when Auburn does build the lines, what could happen? When Auburn does recruit the right way, look out, I guess. If you're having success and when you're doing things piecemealed, and then you all of a sudden you start doing things the right way, I think it gets Auburn fans excited, because a lot of times it has felt like 2017, you know, that was a really good offensive line. 2018, you felt like you had some good pieces, but you had a rough go at offensive line. Even in that 2017, I believe you played, was it Clemson? That first game against Clemson, and you gave up like 100 sacks. You know, it just took a while. Really good run block. It seems like I always have really good run blocking teams, but we sometimes struggle in pass protection. So I particularly love this class. I love this addition with Jacoby Ward, and I really love what Jake Thornton is doing. I really love what he's able to connect. He's able to identify, and then they're able to get the guys that they want more often than not. So even in the portal, you've done success in the portal. I tell you what this does. It kind of, you're getting really close to not really needing the portal that bad. You're getting super close to where, you know, maybe we go try to bring in one difference maker to fill a hole or you know, one or two tops. But I feel like after this year, you may only have to go find, you know, one guy. If that, because your center's locked down, you got a bunch of young guard. You may have to go get, depending on the development of these younger guards, these interior guys, you may have to go get one interior guy, but you're still going to have Izavian Miller again. You're going to have Seth Wilford back. You're going to have Tyler Johnston at tackle. And then you're going to have some of these, you know, young guys that can maybe get a little bit of playing time, maybe one guy in the portal. You're sort of weaning yourself away from the portal. That was another thing that, you know, Auburn, when you look at those piecemeal offensive line classes, you had guys like Austin Golson that transferred in. You had guys like, his name escapes me. It was like a transfer from a Jack Driscoll. He ended up getting drafted from maybe an Ivy League, like a school or something like that. You had a bunch of those type of guys that came and sort of saved you from your lack of offensive line recruiting. I think you're getting very, very close to being able to wean yourself off of that. And that's the way you have to be. That's the way you have to build. That's the way you have to build this thing. You have to get it to where you're stacking high school classes on top of each other, building the culture, building the desire to compete versus just having to turn around and lean back on the portal every single year for two to three offensive linemen every single year. We're getting very, very close. I would be shocked if we took more than one offensive lineman in the portal this upcoming class, because I feel so confident in based off what I'm hearing, based off what I've seen off of the guys that Hughes brought in this short period of time, from, you know, that half class, full class, and then at this class too. So that's something to get excited about. It definitely, if you're an Auburn fan. So big stuff going on with the offensive line. And I think you get two commitments in 3 days. You sort of steal back a little bit of the momentum. I don't feel like you lost, but you feel like you lost. A lot of people feel like you lost over that last little visit weekend after Alvin Henderson committed, that we did not take visitors. I think people kind of felt like either A, we should have taken visitors, or some of the guys that, you know, that visited elsewhere that were committed to us or not committed to us that weekend. Big things happened that weekend. You may have lost a little footing, but you still got time to get it back. But you go ahead and pop these two off, and now you're at six, back to 16 total commits. And I still think you're going to be right on track to have that 20 before the season starts. You still feel really good about your DBs, your two DBs that are both got a commitments date announced for right around Big Cat weekend, Anquan Fagans and Blake Woodby. I mean, those guys are about as solid. I don't want to say solid because they're not committed, but they're as far as it doesn't seem like news is coming out anywhere that they're even leaning anywhere else. We don't even really know who's second in a lot of those. In both of those recruitments. So you still feel really good about those. You know, I think this could be a big week. These next 2 weeks could be big for Julian Lewis, because I just don't think you can go much further. I really don't think you can go into Big Cat weekend. You can't come out of Big Cat weekend without a quarterback commit, I don't think. I think you need to have one prior so you can build up the hype for Big Cat weekend. But I definitely don't think you can come out of Big Cat weekend without a quarterback commit. So, I mean, we're only 20 days. We're 3 weeks from Big Cat weekend. And we got to start seeing stuff. I think we're going to start seeing stuff happen there pretty quickly. He's put out some cryptic tweets. Everybody's been in a frenzy talking about Juju Lewis. Again, I wouldn't be shocked if something happened. There was some type of finality in the next 2 weeks or so in regards to him. I think either A, he's going to flip to Auburn, or B, you're going to see us take another quarterback. And that could signify that he may be getting close to locking it down with, you know, USC or Colorado. I just can't see him going to Colorado, but, you know, we'll see what happens. But anyway, regardless, you've sort of gotten a little bit of momentum going back. Now these next couple of weeks, still no visits, still a dead period, but now this is when you have to really pound the phones and get that Big Cat weekend list locked in and ready for a huge, huge weekend, because this is it. After this, it's pretty much getting ready for the season to start. You're getting ready to go to camp. You're getting ready to get prepared. School will be starting shortly after, and you got to, you know, you're getting ready for the season. Believe it or not, it's that close. So big weekend, big couple of weeks to sort of build towards that. But I really appreciate you guys listening. I hope y'all had a fantastic fourth weekend, safe, a lot of fun. Hope you had a long weekend. Hope you got to take off Friday and just relaxed for the whole weekend. So I know my family and I, we enjoyed it as well. So we're going to be back here all week. We're going to see what happens in the headlines, see if anything jumps out, and we're going to dive into it. So if you like this video, like it. If you like this channel, subscribe to it. Get in the comments. Let me know if I missed an offensive line class. Let me know if you think you remember one that was a little bit better between now, this class, and all the way back to that 2012 class, and we can, you know, mix it up and get after it. But I really appreciate it, guys. Follow me on Twitter, @_Charlie_5, and we'll be back tomorrow and every single day for the rest of the week. So, again, another episode of the Top Button Podcast. I really appreciate it. Stay button.
Thanks for listening, and drive home safely.